Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Stephen Bedard. There are certain figures in history that receive the appellation the Great. You have Peter the Great, Catherine the Great. Some, such as Alexander the Great, whose large but short empire transformed that part of the world, or Alfred the Great, who did so much to lay the groundwork for what would become England, have clearly achieved some greatness. What about Herod the Great? Caesar Augustus, who personally knew Herod, is reported to have said, "I'd rather be Herod's pig than his son." That doesn't sound promising as we begin to look at the life of Herod and his sons, or at least those that survived. I suppose we need to remember that when it comes to figures in history, there's a difference between being great and being good. Herod was definitely not good. Herod was born around 73 BC in Idumea. Idumea was the land known as Edom in the Old Testament. Idumea had been conquered around 125 BC by John Hyrcanus, one of the Hasmoneans, and forced to convert to Judaism. This is Herod's Jewish connection. Not that he was ethnically Jewish, but that his people had been forced into Judaism. This should give us a hint as to how well things will go between Herod and the Jews. Herod's father was Antipater of Idumea, and his mother was Cypros, a Nabatean, which is one of the Arab peoples. Antipater had served in the Hasmonean court, but had quickly recognized the rising power of Rome. Antipater actually rescued Julius Caesar at the siege of Alexandria in 47 BC, which went a long way towards binding his line to the Romans. Antipater's navigation of Roman politics were lessons that were not lost on Herod. In 40 BC, Herod went to Rome and pleaded his case to the Senate of how he would support Rome, and they made him king of the Jews. Under Roman authority, of course. The Romans ruled over a number of client kingdoms. Of course, an announcement by the Senate is one thing. It took until 37 BC for Herod to use his military power to actually take over. Herod then ruled over the Jewish people until his death in 4 BC. Herod had an uphill battle trying to be accepted as king of the Jews. That's not to say he didn't try. One of the ways that he tried to cement his legitimacy was to marry Mariamne, a granddaughter of Hyrcanus II of the Hasmonean line. Unfortunately, Herod already had a wife named Doris and a son named Antipater. But since power trumps family, he sent them away and married Mariamne and had two sons and two daughters with her. The other major thing Herod did was to rebuild the Jerusalem temple. This was begun around 19 BC. Although this is called the Second Temple, it really was more than a renovation of the temple built during the Persian era. Herod made a deal with the priests to have all the building materials on hand before pulling down the existing temple, and sacrifices kept going throughout the construction, with the basic structure being up quite quickly. Despite this, completion of the temple was not completed until 63 AD. That was only 7 years before the temple would be destroyed by the Romans. But that's a story for another episode. What we should realize, though, is that when Jesus was in the temple, and even when he prophesied the destruction of the temple, it was still under construction. We shouldn't see Herod's rebuilding the temple as a sign of his Jewish piety. Herod loved to build, perhaps as a way to create a legacy or to demonstrate his influence. Not only did he build many cultural and military structures, he even built pagan temples, something that would please his Roman sponsors. Herod's work was so, dare I say, great, that you can still find remnants of his building projects today in Israel. The Wailing or Western Wall is the remains of Herod's Jerusalem temple. Herod the Great is mentioned in the Bible in Matthew 2. In the story, Magi from the east come looking for the king of the Jews. Remember that Herod was considered the king of the Jews, and so, as a paranoid and insecure ruler, Herod was very interested in this information. He tried to trick the Magi into leading him to this supposed king. The Magi end up finding Jesus and returning to their land without helping Herod. Herod did know that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, so he had all the boys under two killed. Some historians have pointed out that we have no extra-biblical sources for this massacre. Does that mean that it didn't happen? If you read about Herod, the killing of the children sounds very much like something Herod would do. But why didn't Josephus report this? It's been observed that Bethlehem was a relatively small town, and the number of boys under two wouldn't have been huge. That doesn't take away from any of the tragedy of the killing, but when it comes to the other things that Herod did, it was not as newsworthy as it is for us. Besides, Josephus records plenty of things in his histories that are not attested to elsewhere, and yet we accept them until proven wrong. This massacre fits with what we know about the character and actions of Herod. Speaking of killing children, what about Herod's own children? Remember that harsh description of Herod by Augustus? Well, Herod definitely had children. In fact, he had 10 different wives, including a cousin and a niece. He had at least 16 children and probably more. We're not going to look at his entire family, but we'll focus on a handful. Probably the origin of Augustus's criticism of Herod comes from his relationship with his two sons from his wife, Mariamne I, named Alexander and Aristobulus IV. Father and sons had a very strained relationship, and after a few close calls, Herod had both sons strangled to death in 7 BC because of Herod's own insecurity and paranoia. Things did not go any better for Herod's oldest son, Antipater II, from his first wife, Doris. Antipater II was executed in 4 BC after being accused of plotting his father's death. It is at this point that we're going to bring Herod's life to a close. Herod died in 4 BC after an extremely painful illness. He knew he was dying, and so he gave orders that when he died, that a group of hostages would be killed so that at least someone would be mourning at his death. Thankfully for the hostages, the people in charge didn't follow through with the orders. If people were sad that Herod was dead, then it was sadness that it didn't happen earlier. Once Herod was dead, his kingdom was broken up into smaller areas ruled by a tetrarch. A tetrarch literally means a ruler of a fourth, and so you guessed it, the kingdom was broken up into three pieces. What? Actually, the original plan was for the entire kingdom to go to Herod Archelaus, Herod's son with Malphace. Archelaus brought his claim to Augustus, and after hearing from other sons, Augustus broke up the kingdom. Still, Archelaus was given the largest area, that of Judea, Samaria, and Idumea. Instead of receiving the title king, he was given that of ethnarch. The title of ethnarch was one above that of a tetrarch. However, Archelaus was not a good ruler, and he was removed by Augustus in 6 AD. These areas then changed over from being a client kingdom to becoming the Roman province of Judea. That's why, by the time of Jesus, you have Pontius Pilate as the one in charge of Judea, rather than one of the Herods. Another part of the kingdom was given to Herod Antipas, also Herod's son, by Malthace. Herod was given the title of Tetrarch of Galilee. Antipas was able to hold on to power for much longer than his brother. Antipas plays a significant role in the Gospels. This is the Herod that received criticism for marrying Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, by John the Baptist. Both the Gospels and Josephus testify that it was this Herod who was responsible for John's death. Since Jesus' ministry began in Galilee, some conflict was created with Antipas. Jesus called him a fox, and it wasn't meant as a compliment. At Jesus' trial, when Pontius Pilate heard that Jesus was a Galilean, he invited Herod Antipas, who happened to be in Jerusalem at the time, to interrogate Jesus. Jesus refused to answer Herod's questions. In 39 AD, Antipas sent a message to the Emperor Caligula asking for the title of king. Unfortunately for Antipas, Caligula also received a list of accusations against Antipas by Herod Agrippa. Not only was he not granted the title of king, he was removed from power and was exiled. The third ruler over Herod's former kingdom was Philip, sometimes called Philip the Tetrarch or Herod Philip II. He was the son of Herod the Great and Cleopatra of Jerusalem, and was the half-brother of the other two rulers who divided up the kingdom. Philip ruled over Iturea and Trachonitis. Philip married Salome, but it's uncertain if this is the Salome that danced before Herod Antipas and asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter, or a different and older Salome. It should be noted that this Philip is not the same Philip whose wife Antipas married. It really is a confusing family tree. But we're not done yet. Remember Herod the Great's son, Aristobulus, who died back in 7 BC? He had a number of children. One was a daughter named Herodias, the one from the Gospels, who left her first husband Philip for his half-brother Antipas. Not only did she leave one husband for her brother-in-law, both men were her uncles. Yuck. Herodias's brother was Herod Agrippa I. Agrippa encountered some family conflict with Antipas, and he escaped to Rome during the reign of Tiberius. After some suspicion that Agrippa wished for Tiberius to die and Caligula to succeed him, Agrippa was imprisoned. However, he was released when indeed Tiberius did die and Caligula did succeed him. Caligula ended up giving Agrippa the Tetrarchy of Galilee and Perea, replacing his uncle Antipas. After the assassination of Caligula, the empire passed on to Claudius. Agrippa benefited from this greatly as Claudius made Agrippa king of Judea, expanding his territory to close to that ruled by his grandfather, Herod the Great. Agrippa ruled over Judea as king from 41 to 44 AD. Agrippa died, and it was not a pleasant one. Both Luke and Josephus record his death, but I'll only share Luke's version. And this is from Acts 12, 21 to 23. Now Herod was having an angry quarrel with the people of Tyre and Sidon. So they joined together and presented themselves before him. And after convincing Blastus, the king's personal assistant, to help them, they asked for peace, because their country's food supply was provided by the king's country. On a day determined in advance, Herod put on his royal robe, sat down on the judgment seat, and made a speech to them. But the crowd began to shout, "The voice of a god, and not of a man!" Immediately an angel of the Lord struck Herod down, because he did not give the glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. The final client king of the Herodian dynasty was Herod Agrippa II, son of Herod Agrippa I. Agrippa II was given a small tetrarchy in 48 AD. His territory was shifted and added to by different Roman emperors. This Herod also is mentioned by Luke, and this is in Acts 25:23-25. So the next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the audience hall, along with the senior military officers and the prominent men of the city. When Festus gave the order, Paul was brought in. Then Festus said, "King Agrippa, and all you who are present here with us, you see this man about whom the entire Jewish population petitioned me, both in Jerusalem and here, shouting loudly that he ought not to live any longer. But I found that he had not done anything that deserved death, and when he appealed to his majesty the emperor, I decided to send him." This Bernice was his sister, although there were rumors that they were in an incestuous relationship. Agrippa II had the unfortunate accident of history to be the king of the Jews during the First Jewish War from 66 to 73 AD. Agrippa II tried to reason with his Jewish subjects to accept Rome's harsh treatment, but instead they cast him out. Agrippa II ended up sending troops on the Roman side to try to demonstrate his loyalty to Rome. This was wise on his part, as even though he lost his position as the king of the Jews, he was able to live a privileged life in Rome. The last Herodian king died sometime before the end of the first century. So ends the story of Herod and his sons. Thank you for listening to this episode of The History of Christianity. Please check out my webpage at historyofchristianitypodcast.com and follow me on Twitter and find the Facebook page as well. And if you have enjoyed this program, I encourage you to support it through my Patreon page, and you can find that at patreon.com/hopesreason. And if you're feeling generous, you can also leave an iTunes review. Thank you, and God bless.